This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming, to movies, TV shows, and pop culture, to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you from Chicago, USA, with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
This is Mason Vera Payne, live from the NVP Studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. So it's August, and joining me to talk about movie news rumors is contributing editor at Fandango, Eric Davis. Thanks for joining me, Eric.
Thanks for having me.
Now, I've been reading that they're looking for a new James Bond. Who do you think would be a good candidate?
You know, I think there's a lot of different men who could play James Bond. I think there's women who could get into the mix as well. You know, I know that they're doing one more film with Daniel Craig, so I don't think that any kind of decision on a new James Bond is going to be made until after that film comes out. And maybe that film either directly leads into who our new James Bond is, or maybe they take a little bit after that movie kind of lands to see what the audience wants. You know, Henry Cavill's name has come up, of course. He'd love to do it. But I think that we're in a time now where maybe we should kind of look at changing it up a bit and reinventing that franchise sort of in the way that they did when Daniel Craig did Casino Royale. So we'll have to see, you know. I mean, I like the James Bond movies, but then I look at, like, Mission Impossible Fallout, and I'm like, that movie's fantastic. I like the Mission Impossible movies more than I do the James Bond movies. But, you know, I think audiences have come to kind of get used to any kind of action sequence that you can throw at. So I think for James Bond to sort of survive in the new era, I think they need to make some big changes and really focus on story and tell us more about who this guy is to have us invest in him for continuing adventures.
You know, I think it's big shoes to fill now because of Daniel Craig. He does a lot of his own stunts like Tom Cruise does, and I give mass respect for that. So anybody who's going to like fill in the shoes of James Bond now, for me, is going to have to do their own stunts, too.
Yeah, they'll have to do their own stunts for sure. But, you know, where are we? Like 25, 26 James Bond movies in. And, you know, I just think that there's only so much you can get out of the fancy cars and, you know, the nice suits and the kind of tragic romance. And I think that for me, you know, you could always craft some really cool stunts, but I think the story is going to be key for James Bond. And it'll be curious to see what happens. Idris Elba's name has come up. That would be really cool to see him in it. So I think I would like to see a different look for James Bond. I know that there are a lot of James Bond purists out there that want him to look kind of the same sort of white, polished, good-looking man that he has been. But I think that we're in an age where the audience kind of is looking for a change. And so I'd be curious to see what they do.
And speaking of the James Bond purists, do you think that they'd be interested in having maybe an American James Bond, like an American actor to play James Bond? Or do you think they'll stick to UK?
Probably not. Probably not if they're purists. You know, I'd be curious to see how that works. But I think that James Bond 007 is very rooted in sort of in Britain and in Europe. And so I think that they should probably keep that part of the character accurate, even saying that as an American, and go from there. We have Ethan Hunt. You know, we have our American James Bond played by Tom Cruise. So, you know, I think he could stay across the pond.
So in reboot news, I've heard of a Charlie's Angels reboot. Have you heard anything about that?
There is. There's definitely a Charlie's Angels reboot that's happening. They just cast all the three ladies. Kristen Stewart, who we know from the Twilight movies, she's going to be in there. Naomi Scott, who plays the new Jasmine in Disney's live-action Aladdin that's coming out. And then there's a newcomer, a British woman named Ella Balinska. So those three will be the new angels. Elizabeth Banks is directing it. She's also going to be in front of the camera. She's going to play the head of the detective agency that you don't see as much, Charlie Townsend. And then the new story is going to be sort of, it's going to be more global. And so, like, the detective agency from the original series and the other movies is going to be a global agency that works across the world, and it's going to kind of zoom in on these three women. But it's a good time for a Charlie's Angels remake. You know, we're very much living in an age of empowering women, especially seeing more female-driven projects that run the scope of genres. And so I think that to see kind of three women just putting a smackdown on, you know, on the spy genre, we're just talking about the spy genre, I think that would be really cool. So I'm curious to see how it goes and what the story is. And but yeah, that's cooking up now. And there, I believe it's coming out, I want to say 2019, somewhere thereabouts. So it should be fun.
Do you know if it's going to be more of like a comedy action like the one with Drew Barrymore, or is it going to be more serious?
I think it'll probably be a comedy action. You know, Elizabeth Banks has a lot of humor in her. She's directing it. The movie, by the way, comes out September 27th, 2019. And I think that it'll definitely have humor and heart and action. I think that's the recipe for this kind of movie. And I think that we'll definitely see a little bit of that, knowing that Banks is behind the camera.
You know, I'm wondering about that casting call on Kristen Stewart, though. I'm not saying she's a bad actress. It's just I don't see her being a funny actress. And I'm a little curious how that's going to work out.
Yeah, I mean, she may not be the funny one. She may be a serious one, and maybe somebody else is sort of the comic relief. But I think that we don't see Kristen Stewart in action movies as much, and I think she's made a lot of interesting choices since the Twilight series. She's taken on a lot of risky roles. She's been a mainstay in independent cinema. There isn't a film festival that I go to that doesn't have a movie that's starring her. So I think she's worked with a lot of really fascinating directors and really kind of tested herself as an actress, both her and Robert Pattinson. I really, those two kids I give a tremendous amount of credit to, because they broke out of that Twilight franchise, that kind of YA world that they were in, and they really pushed themselves to kind of take on roles that that maybe people never expected them to take on. She's done that, Kristen Stewart. And so this is sort of like a return to almost mainstay blockbusters for her, which we haven't really seen from her in a while. So I'm really curious to see it. I think she's going to play a tough woman in the movie, and I think she does good at playing that kind of character. So I'm curious to see what they do.
Now, here's another reboot for you, Indecent Proposal. Now, that's a classic. Mm-hmm. Do you have any updates on that movie?
What we do know is that it's got a writer. Erin Cressida Wilson is going to write it, and that's it. You know, she wrote the movie Secretary. She also wrote The Girl on the Train. So those are recent movies that she has written. And we know the original starred Woody Harrelson and Demi Moore as a couple who were cash-strapped. A wealthy man played by Robert Redford offered $1 million for a night to spend a night with Demi Moore. And then, you know, that kind of spiraled into some jealousy and kind of tore the couple apart. And so how they're going to rearrange that story, especially in the age of Me Too, I'm really curious to see. I think that the old premise is not going to stay exactly the same. And I think that there's a way to kind of turn the premise on its head and inject sort of the current flavor of the era into it. And I'm interested to see how they handle it. And I think not only how they handle it, but who the cast is, who is the trio. You know, it's hard. You got Robert Redford, Demi Moore, and Woody Harrelson. That's a strong trio for the first one. So they need kind of a strong trio for this one. I'm really curious to see who they cast and if it is a trio. If it is, we don't know anything about the plot, so it's hard to say how they will cast it. But we does have a writer, and they are working on it.
You know, you're right about that, because those three kind of own the role. So those are big shoes to fill, because you're going to have to do better than Demi Moore. You'll have to do better than Robert Redfield. And I'll be honest, I'm not sure anybody can.
Yeah, I mean, we're curious. I'm curious. You know, maybe that's a role that George Clooney is in this time around. I don't know. But I do know that, you know, the first one is a very uncomfortable movie to watch.
Yes.
And I hope that... And that's what I like about it. I like an uncomfortable sort of romance, and so I hope that they keep that part of it, but then also change it up to reflect modern times.
Now, this morning I read that they're doing a prequel to Sandlot, and I love Sandlot. That's a movie I grew up with. But why a prequel? I mean, Sandlot was pretty good as a standalone movie.
Sandlot actually also did two sequels that went direct to video.
Really?
Straight to video, yeah. And So I think a lot of people are scratching their heads on why there is a prequel. You know, the original film just passed its 25th anniversary, and then the original writer and director is attached to write this film, David Mickey Evans. So all we really know is that it may involve the legend of the Beast from the first movie. The Beast, of course, was the dog, and the dog had this legend that the kids spoke about. And so I don't know if they're going to go back up and tell the story of the dog. I'm not sure. I'm not sure where that story is for a prequel. But, you know, Fox is in the midst of being, you know, acquired by Disney. And so maybe this is a play to sort of, enlarge the scope of this franchise so that way it could be sort of Disney-fied, so to speak. I don't know. I'm not sure what it is, but... You know, that movie I hold near and dear to my heart. I grew up with it. I think it's a great film. It really captures sort of the spirit of being a kid in the summertime and just kind of running around and getting into trouble and with your friends. And so I like that about the first movie. I would love if they go to do another one to kind of capture the spirit of that. I think would make it successful. So, but we'll see. Maybe it'll be about the dog. Who knows? The dog will talk. I have no clue what they're going to do here. But yes, it is being written. But you know, a lot of these movies, they'll announce that they're being written or they've got a screenwriter for it, and then, you know, it takes a long time for it to actually be made. We don't have a cast, we don't have anything yet, we just have that. So we'll see. To be continued.
Now here's another weird movie. At least I think it's gonna be kind of weird. Ryan Reynolds is gonna remake Home Alone, but a stoned Alone. What is this? What kind of parody movie is this going to be?
Yeah, I don't know if it's necessarily a quote-unquote remake of Home Alone. I think it's sort of inspired by Home Alone. This, instead of a little kid being home alone when burglars come into the house, it's going to be about a man played by Ryan Reynolds who is stoned, high on probably pot or something. And then burglars come, and so he's going to have to figure out how to get through it. I mean, it sounds like kind of a joke that's funny for a minute, and then it's stretched into an hour and a half. You know, we've seen comedies where, you know, the heroes are a little, you know, whatever, they're drunk or high or something like that, and they have to sort of figure out how to do something that's really complicated. And so it's funny for a bit. But to have a whole movie like that, I don't know. So again, it's going to depend on the story, and I could imagine they're going to make a lot of nods to the original, especially with him ordering pizza and stuff like that, because he's probably going to have the munchies. So we'll see. We'll see where they go with that film, but it is an interesting one. And you know, Ryan Reynolds can do no wrong right now. Deadpool is one of the most successful superhero franchises. And so he's probably got a lot of people coming to him and saying, what do you want to do? And he was probably like, I want to make Home Alone, but call it Stoned Alone. And somebody was like, let's do it. So we'll see how that turns out. But Reynolds is funny, and he deserves a lot of credit for sort of his contributions to Deadpool and making that movie funnier and relevant and more successful. So I will not count it out. It sounds like a bit that's going to be stretched a little bit too long and to a point where it's not funny anymore, but we will see what they do with it. The good news is that the original Home Alone will still exist. So if you don't like Stoned Alone, you can go home and watch Home Alone, and that still is a movie.
I don't know. Maybe this will be like a sequel to the first three?
I think it would be hysterical if he actually did play Kevin McAllister as an adult and this happened again. So that would be another interesting way to go about it, is if he did play an adult Kevin McAllister who actually is a stoner and the same thing happens to him again. That would be an interesting route to go. But we'll see if they do that. I don't know what the deal is with the rights in terms of how much they can use the original movie or how much it's tied to it or if they're just kind of using it for inspiration. I'm not sure all of the specifics on that part of it.
So here's a movie that's coming out, and I'm excited to see. It's Glass, and it's coming out in January. And is this going to focus just on Mr. Glass, or is this going to just have like a little three-way between The Unbreakable and Split?
Yeah, the latter part. That's exactly what it is. Maybe the most anticipated movie that's ever come out in January, I think. But it is a sequel to Unbreakable. It is a sequel to Split. It is directed and written by M. Night Shyamalan, and they just released a first trailer for this. So you can go on YouTube and check it out. But yeah, Bruce Willis, Samuel L. Jackson, James McAvoy, all returning, and it is going to revolve around the fact that, you know, these guys all claim that they have special powers. And what is that like, and how do they kind of interact with each other, and what happens next, I guess, you know? And so Mr. Glass, Samuel L. Jackson, is sort of, that's what it's called. It's called Glass. He was very much a big part of that first movie, that first Unbreakable. And so it looks cool. It looks like a cool movie to see. Of course, you know, there was a lot less pressure on Split and Unbreakable because nobody knew what to expect. Nobody knew that Split was a secret sequel to Unbreakable. And so everybody kind of came into that movie with very low expectations. And Unbreakable, you know, nobody knew what that was. I mean, when M. Night made Unbreakable, they were so afraid, the studio was so afraid of superheroes that they didn't want him to use the word superhero or comic book in the marketing, which is hilarious. So this is the first one of this series to, everybody knows what it is, and everybody knows that it's a follow-up to these two movies that are very much beloved. So there's more pressure on this film to deliver. And historically, when M. Night has pressure on him, people, you know, sometimes are let down by what they see. This one, however, looks really great, and I think this is something that he's been sitting with for a long time, M. Night Shyamalan. All three of them are really great in those roles, especially James McAvoy, who I have heard is doing up to 21 different personalities in this movie. So rewatch Unbreakable, rewatch Split, and look forward to Glass. I am very much looking forward to it. I think it looks pretty cool.
So in Unbreakable, Mr. Glass was the bad guy. Is he not going to be the bad guy in Mr. Glass then?
Oh, no, I would totally expect him to be a bad guy again. and I think all of these three characters are going to be troubled, and troubled by the powers that they have, the powers that they think they have, and that's what I like about sort of this series, is that it explores the complexity of somebody who may have a power that is unexplained, and I think that this film is going to drive that further and explore that more. Sarah Paulson, who is a fantastic actress, she is in this movie as well. And so I like that exploration of the psyche of the superhero and what it means to have a power and how you use it and what your responsibilities are with it. That is something that in these other comic book movies, they kind of scratch the surface of. And I think this movie sort of gets deeper into the psychological sort of repercussions of having a power or thinking that you have a power. And I think that that's what this film is going to get to.
Now, I've watched two other trailers that I'm really excited about these movies. It's for Shazam and Aquaman. What did you think of the trailers for these movies?
Yeah, I think it shows DC sort of turning a corner and maybe finding a groove that they've been desperately trying to find with their universe. It's hard. It's hard when Marvel Studios is so successful with their cinematic universe. It's hard to kind of get into that game when you're DC because on one hand, you want to do something different than what they're doing, and on the other hand, you want to sort of get that same kind of audience, that same giant audience. And so they've been struggling with their tone. Do they go more serious? Do they have more humor? What is the right balance for a DC movie? I think we're starting to see it in the Aquaman and Shazam. I mean, both are different movies, but Aquaman is going to be a movie that, you know, looks wild. Visually, it looks stunning. James Wan is a master of the horror genre, what he's done with Saw and the Conjuring series. And so I think visually this looks really great. And it'll be, you know, great cast, Nicole Kidman, Jason Momoa, Amber Heard. I just sat down with this cast at Comic-Con in San Diego. If you go on Fandango's YouTube page, you'll see me interviewing the entire cast for Aquaman. And so I like it. I think it's going to look visually unlike any superhero movie that we've seen, and it's going to take us to a world that we've never seen. And so you know, for these movies to continue evolving, I think that's what we need. As far as Shazam, it kind of looks like the movie Big with Tom Hanks, but for superheroes. And so I think that, you know, that I think did almost better than Aquaman when those two trailers were released at Comic-Con, because I don't think anybody knew what Shazam was. And then I think that trailer really kind of gives you a good idea of what it is. It's like a kid who becomes a superhero, but he still thinks like a kid. And what would happen if you were 10 years old, 12, 13 years old, and you had these powers to become a superhero, but you were still a 13-year-old inside of there. And I think that's a really great premise that we have not seen from the superhero movies yet. And so that is what makes Shazam a very attractive film, in my opinion.
Now, DC Comics, they have a lot darker stories. And I think that's why their movies try to reflect it. So I was a bit shocked when Shazam and Aquaman, their trailers seem like, oh, it's a lot of funny bits. It seems to be. And your analogy of it's big for superheroes, Shazam, that's spot on, because that's exactly how it feels. It's this kid in this big, powerful body that looks like an adult, and it looks fun. So I'm just curious, do you think that they're going to start doing this more often with their movies, going towards a more pop culture-y, fun, lighthearted movies instead of the dark, grittier stuff?
I don't think so, actually. I think that they're going to give you a little bit of both. You know, they're also making a Joker movie with Joaquin Phoenix, and Robert De Niro is in it. And I think that is going to be more darker, more of a character study on a guy that goes mad. And I don't think that it may have humor in it, but I don't think it's going to be necessarily a comedy the way that Shazam kind of comes off as. And so I think that they're going to give you different kinds of movies. So this way, you don't know what to expect from a DC film. It could be funny. It could be serious. It could be dark. It could be light. And I think that might be a good recipe to go with. You know, I think everybody knows what to expect from a Marvel Studios movie. They know it's going to be funny, it's going to be action-packed, it's going to be a little serious, and it's going to connect to everything that's around it. But I think DC could keep people on their toes if they're just making different movies in different genres and not knowing, and people don't know what to expect. Sort of the way what Fox has been doing with their superheroes, with Logan and Deadpool, going with the R rating. I think that DC, I would bet that DC will test an R rating, maybe even with this Joker movie with Joaquin Phoenix, to see how their audience responds to that, and kind of just try different things, you know. I think you just have to keep trying different things with these films in order for them to continue to be as popular and anticipated as they are. You have to give new looks of them, you know. So we'll see.
I'm glad you talked about the Joker movies, because I was a little upset that they're doing two movies.
Yeah,
only because people are going to compare them. How did they perform? You know, oh, you know, Joaquin Phoenix, his is horrible. I think that's not fair. They really shouldn't have done that. Or am I looking at this wrong?
I mean, I personally think they're going to be completely different movies. I think this Joker movie with Joaquin Phoenix is not going to be the kind of superhero movie or comic book movie that we've come to expect. I could see it being a dark character study of a man that goes mad, and less so about, you know, kind of a quote-unquote a Joker movie where he's running around in makeup and fighting Batman. Like, I don't think we're going to see that. The other Joker movie, I don't know. We don't know much about it, the one with Jared Leto. So I'm not sure. That's one that I can will probably be more comic booky, so to speak, and we're not sure what that is going to look like or what that's going to be. But, you know, he's a popular character, the Joker. You know, Heath Ledger's performance, which just came through an anniversary, 10-year anniversary of The Dark Knight, you know, really revitalized that character in a way that made him a lot more, sort of had more depth to the character, more layers to the character, made him kind of more darker and sadistic, sort of the way we've seen him in some of the more popular graphic novels for Batman. And so I think that there's still a lot of room to play with that character. Heath Ledger really opened up the door to sort of the complexity of what that character can be. And so I definitely think there's room to make multiple movies. It's just a matter of, you know, making them have good stories and making them interesting and giving you characters to invest in that you care about is important, too. And, hey, I'm a fan of movies that put the villains up front. I think that's cool. I think that that's not something that we've seen enough of. And so it's just a matter of, you know, coloring them in a way that makes you invest in them without sort of taking away what we love so much about the villainy of them. So it's a fine balance to kind of to straddle, and so we'll see how they do it. But the Joaquin Phoenix movie, I would say I'm personally looking more forward to that than I am the Jared Leto movie, because I think that they're going to do some weird things with that film. I mean, Robert De Niro and Joaquin Phoenix with a movie directed by the guy that did the Hangover movies. I mean, how could you not want to watch whatever that is going to be?
Speaking of anticipation of movies, Star Wars Episode 9, I read they're bringing Princess Leia back. How are they
going to
do that?
Well, they're not going to use CGI or anything like that like they did at the end of Rogue One. They're going to use footage that was captured during The Force Awakens. They're going to use that footage to sort of, complete her story. There were several scenes I know that were shot with Carrie Fisher as Leia in The Force Awakens that weren't used. And so we're going to see what that's about. So we don't know exactly what that footage is or what it consists of or how they're going to be able to sort of use it to complete her story. That's to be seen, but they are going to use that footage. They've gotten the blessing from her daughter, Billie Lourd, who's also in the new Star Wars movie. She was in the previous two. So I'm curious to see, you know, J.J. Abrams is a wizard. You know, I was just watching The Force Awakens the other day, and that movie is really good. It's just a really good movie. Talk about a movie that you just put on and you don't want to stop watching. Just love it to pieces. And I'm really looking forward to Episode 9. I think J.J. Abrams is going to finish off this series in a really spectacular way. And I know that, you know, they very much love Carrie Fisher, and they are going to honor her respectfully. I know that they will.
I'm always apprehensive when an actor passes away during filming or during, you know, before the film can start, and they still want them in it. Because I think of Bruce Lee. When Bruce Lee passed away, I can't remember the movie. I think it was Fist of Fury. Well, anyways, they really wanted to finish the movie. And they ended up using B film from all his previous movies and just said, we're just going to cut and paste it together and make a movie. And they did. And in some scenes where they needed the, you know, Bruce Lee to be in for the storyline, it was just a stunt double with a weird Bruce Lee mask on. And it was just a horrible movie. That's why I can't remember the name of it. But I can't help but to think that's what they do when a person passes away during a movie. And in this case, Star Wars Episode 9, why not just rewrite the story with her out of it? Like say, oh, something happened to Princess Leia. We can't have her in the movie.
You know, I originally thought that that's what they were going to do. I originally thought that maybe the opening crawl would say that, you know, Princess, you know, Leia has passed away. And the universe is in flux, you know. I thought that that's what they would do, but I guess that, you know, she's such a pivotal character, and they wanted to kind of, I guess, send her off in a way that was more respectful than just text on a screen. And yeah, I mean, look, we're far from those days of what they did with Bruce Lee. They can really do a lot with technology and special effects to kind of make it look a lot more respectful and to make the continuity feel legitimate. They can do that these days, but I guess they have the right footage of her. You know, I mean, this is footage from her in a Star Wars movie from 2015. So I guess that there is enough footage there to piece together a respectful conclusion to her character. This is one of the most iconic female characters of all time, and so I think that they want to kind of say goodbye to her the right way, and I trust them to do that.
All right, let's hope for the best, because I want her to have a good send-off, too.
All of
So for the month of August, what movies should we be on the lookout for?
Well, August is always a wild card month. You know, a lot of studios will throw some of their riskier stuff at the wall to see how it sticks. There's a new Disney movie coming out called Christopher Robin. So families looking to kind of escape the heat can kind of go watch that. And that's like a live-action Winnie the Pooh, an adult Christopher Robin. Sort of reminds me of the movie Hook with Robin Williams, an adult Peter Pan sort of having to try to find the magic of what it was like in Neverland. And this is Christopher Robin kind of going back to the Hundred Acre Wood as an adult, reconnecting with those characters, Pooh, Piglet, Tigger, and sort of learning what it was like and how to kind of be happy in his life. So that's coming out. We have a really fun movie called The Meg with Jason Statham, where he battles a giant shark, a megalodon. Fun movie, kind of just thrilling enough to keep you antsy in your seat. The audience I saw it with was, you know, laughing and cheering and kind of, you know, holding their eye, closing their eyes at some moments. And so that's just a fun summer shark movie, which is perfect for August when it's really hot and everybody's at the beach. Go see The Meg. I would recommend that one. Black Klansman is a film that I want to mention. I just did a Q&A with it last night with the cast. This is Spike Lee's new movie, based on a really crazy real-life story about a black cop in the 70s who went undercover as a member of the Ku Klux Klan. He used his voice on the phone to kind of talk his way into the group, and then they sent a white cop, played by Adam Driver, to Klan events posing as that same guy, and the two of them together really helped foil a bunch of cross burnings and potential bombings. And so it's just a fascinating story. Great cast. John David Washington stars as the cop Ron Stallworth. He is Denzel Washington's son. Laura Harrier from Spider-Man Homecoming is in it. Topher Grace plays David Duke. Really great film from Spike Lee. Probably one of his best movies. And definitely a film that feels very much needed right now. Highly recommend that, and the cast is great. I got to meet them all last night. So that comes out, I believe, August 10th, and it's called Black Klansman. So if you want to see something a little darker and deeper and relevant and politically charged, that's the movie to go see. If you want to go see a bunch of Jim Henson puppets spitting out curses in very foul language, you also have a movie called The Happy Time Murders, which is about a bunch of puppets who are just filthy, starring Melissa McCarthy. And that is going to be, definitely don't take your kids to that. If you see Jim Henson puppets, that's not a kid's movie. That is an R-rated movie, sort of about this world where humans and puppets kind of coexist, and it gets really raunchy. So that kind of reminds me of, like, Sausage Party, which we saw, was it last year or the year before? This is sort of along the same lines of where it looks like it's a kid's movie, but it's very much an adult movie. That's also coming out later this month.
Well, thanks, Eric, for joining me. It's always a pleasure to speak with you. And for those listening, where can they find more information about you?
You can find me over on Fandango, as well as on Twitter at Eric with a K, Davis. All the stuff that I do, you can find me on Twitter, and I'll be tweeting it out.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Head to WGNradio.com for exclusive content by Mason. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne, that's all one word, and don't forget to share the show with your friends.